You are listening to Business Day Spotlight.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. Welcome back. This is the Business Day Spotlight weekly podcast. We are joined on the line by the Vice President for Communications for Huawei, who is in Hong Kong, just to give us some insight into what's going on. I think at the moment, one of the biggest issues that we're seeing in the news is the issue of Huawei's apparent blacklisting by the U.S. Department of Commerce from last week, which has led subsequently to some of the tech companies such as Google and some of the chip makers actually complying with that order and suspending their business with Google at the moment. How are you, Glenn? As I said, we are joined by Glenn Schloss. He is the Vice President of Communications for Huawei, and he is joining us from Hong Kong. How are you, Glenn?
Hi, Madhu. Doing well, thanks. It's business as usual here at Huawei in Shenzhen. I'm at headquarters today. I made the trip up from Hong Kong, and everyone's getting about their daily business. We do have more inquiries from consumers and media as well, asking us what's happening with Google and other partners that we have. You know, if we take a step back, there has been a listing of Huawei on a Department of Commerce list that affects our supply chain and some of our business partnerships. But on Monday, a few days after it was first listed, the Department of Commerce has suspended that for 3 months now. And so while there were some initial media reports about what Google was planning or needing to do, things have really settled down now. And what I want to emphasize for you, Madhua, and your listeners, is that we continue on with the Google Android smartphones that people have purchased. And Huawei has been selling. They've been very popular in the past few years. And we continue to provide security updates for those smartphones that are in the, the hands of consumers that are in stores as well. We also provide after-sales services to any of those smartphones, and that there are some tablets as well that have been growing in popularity. And that covers all those that we've sold and all those that are in stock globally. So I completely understand that people may be concerned, and rightfully so, but we're doing our best to manage in what is a quite complex political situation with the US and China, and we want to reassure our consumers that we're there for them, and that their smartphones and products continue to be serviced and given aftercare by Huawei, and not to worry.
I think on that particular note, when it comes to the continued support of current devices, I know that in South Africa, you know, just having conversations with people, you know, on the streets and just in public, a lot of public discourse, people would think that their Huawei devices are suddenly just going to stop working now. Is that the case? You know, just so that we can put the minds of current device holders to at ease.
Yeah, sure. Absolutely. Handsets that have been sold and that remain in stock as well at retailers, that continue to operate as usual. They continue to receive the various updates and security updates, in particular that are of interest to a lot of consumers. And it's business as usual for us, as much as it can be, and we want our consumers to continue enjoying the experiences that they're having with their Huawei smartphones and tablets as well, and also Honor smartphones as well, Madhura. So let's all take a deep breath. There's 90 days before the order gets placed in back in effect again, and we're talking to Google regularly and frequently. They're a close partner of Huawei, And there's many contingencies and backups that we have in place. So ask everyone to be patient and to bear with us at this time.
And after that 90 days, do you anticipate that, I know that it might be, it's still a bit early to perhaps predict what will happen after August, but just in the current planning from the company's point of view, is there a view that when the order comes back into place that it's going to be a permanent thing, or are we looking for a situation where it completely falls away?
Yeah, it's one day at a time at the moment when it comes to the politics and announcements from the US government. There's been a series, two or three of them in the past 5 or 6 days. And we don't know with certainty or what is coming from the US, and even regarding this listing, which has been now suspended. We don't know what the future is. So what Huawei does is its own planning and its own contingencies. So we continue to operate as we have been, and we continue to launch new handsets. Honor had a handset launch last night in London for a new model. They, they're all stocked. All those new models are stocked with the Google Android system. And what we do know is what we can control, which is our supply chain. We know which sources, which suppliers are coming from US, and which business partners like Google are providing us with software. So we do have contingencies in place, and that's what we look at. So, for example, there has been a Huawei operating system that's been in development behind the scenes in the past few years.
Yes.
We have been working on that. When that is ready to roll out, we're not willing to say, and we're not able to say at the moment. But I've been very interested to see the online social media discussion that there has been around the operating system and the prospect that Huawei may be able to offer its own. I'm from Australia. I see my friends in Australia on Facebook discussing it. And there seems to be a growing demand and interest from consumers in a non-US operating system. So from difficult situations, opportunities do emerge. So bear with us on this front, and there might be some more news coming in the future weeks or months.
Yeah, because I know that when it comes to, I guess, some of the rumors, you know, because I think the rumor mill becomes quite strong at during, you know, times like this when something newsworthy like this is going on. And some of the media reports have suggested that your operating system might come online as early as August or September. But as you said, you'll advise us when that's actually coming into effect. And we're actually looking forward to it, because I think people might, anyone who buys a Huawei device might have a taste of some of the how Huawei's thought and approach is towards software and mobile development when you look at EMUI and some of the apps that, you know, that run on that, some of the Huawei made apps. But something else I wanted to perhaps ask is, as you said, people are talking a lot about this, and I think the assumption is that all of this that's going on has put Huawei in a negative light. Do you feel that that is the case, or has it sort of stirred more curiosity than negativity in what Huawei is doing?
Yeah, it's a double-edged sword, this one, particularly when you're a company that's caught in between what is a very serious trade dispute between the United States and China. we feel like a small sesame seed that is being that is being subject to gigantic and enormous forces between these two nations as they adjust to each other in what is a new economic period. And there's a lot of negative publicity about Huawei, but there's also a greater understanding of the company and a willingness of people, of media, of governments to listen to our story and to understand the origins of the company as a private company that's owned by its employees. And 90,000 of my colleagues are the shareholders of Huawei, not the Chinese government, not the Chinese military. It's owned by the people who I all work with. And they work very hard and have done so over the past 20 or 30 years to build what is a US $100 billion company in revenue, and building it with some innovative technology, which the world is really starting just to experience, particularly through the smartphones. I understand in South Africa that they've become increasingly popular and accepted by consumers there, for which we're very grateful that people are interested in alternatives and different ways of seeing the world and different ways of interacting with the world. And that's very much what Huawei is interested in doing, is challenging conventional notions and to use technology to connect people and places and businesses and so on. So, look, it's a challenging time, and it has been for the past year or so. Things have intensified with the United States. But we just continue focusing on our business and remaining positive and focusing on the people who rely on us for their technology and for their connections.
And then lastly, I think something that a lot of people are interested in, and I know just some of the social media conversation and just general discourse at water coolers around the world has to do with this relationship between Huawei and the government. And you actually alluded to that just now. Could we just get your take on where Huawei, you know, stands? I think there's a lot of speculation about the Chinese government coming into defend Huawei on its behalf, or, you know, is Huawei fighting its own battles?
Yeah, look, Huawei is a company which has grown from China, and China continues to be our headquarters. There's 170 countries around the world where Huawei does business, including South Africa. And the government there is a very important stakeholder for Huawei. And of course, in our home country of China, the Chinese government is a stakeholder and an entity that we have to interact with. But I want to emphasize that the company is completely privately owned by its 95,000 shareholders. And those people rely on the sales of Huawei equipment to get their bonuses and to get their dividends from their shares. And they and their families are relying on this money every year and these sales to continue. So they won't do anything that is requested by any government anywhere to build a backdoor. We've never been asked to build a backdoor by the Chinese government, and we never would. Our founder has said repeatedly that he will close the business if he's ever required to do that by the Chinese government. And that reassures me, and it should hopefully reassure the world. But, you know, there are 90,000 people, and if any of those are asked to do something that's improper or not appropriate in the views, in the eyes of our customers, it's not going to happen. It would be corporate suicide for Huawei to do anything nefarious or to assist governments in spying illegally. So that's the situation, and we have to keep reassuring our consumers and our customers that like purchase the networks that this is the reality. There is no evidence of Huawei ever having done this, and there's a lot of speculation, but we're just not dealing with speculation. We're dealing with the reality, and which I appreciate you taking interest in understanding.
So you heard it there. We are on the line with the Vice President for Corporate Communications for Huawei, talking to us from China, just giving us a roundup. As you heard, his parting words are that it would be corporate suicide for Huawei to be involved in any nefarious activities. On the other side of this, we continue our discussion around the U.S.-China trade war and what some of these implications will be on the world and particularly the South African economy. Thank you so much. So that's it for today. That has been our BD Spotlight. You can definitely go and find us. You can hear all of our latest podcasts on Business Life under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab. On Twitter, you can use our hashtag. That's hashtag BD Spotlight. And you can subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your podcasts. For myself, Mudiwa Mob, Justice Kavadze, good evening, good afternoon, and good morning. Remember that Business Day Spotlight is a multimedia live production, and thank you to our amazing producer, that is Paige Mueller.